I'm Silvahara Pettyon. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Catch it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
He is the American dream. He's a former pro athlete whose dreams were shattered by a career-ending injury. But you know what? That didn't stop him. He went from sleeping on a sister's couch to being a multi-million dollar business owner, entrepreneur. Yes. He is an agent of change. He has created a movement. He is not only just an amazing human being, but he is also now the author of The School of Greatness. Please help me welcome Lewis Howes.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how does it feel?
It feels great.
This was a dream of mine 8 years ago to be a New York Times bestselling author. You know, in high school, I almost flunked out of English class my senior year. I had to take like extra homework and extra tests just because I had a D minus. And she was like, you cannot pass with this grade. So I, looking back, I wish I could remember my teacher's name so I could send her this message and say, look what I created. What did you be proud of?
That's awesome. Do you ever wake up and pinch yourself?
Every day I feel like the luckiest kid in the world. I feel like, what do I, you know, why do I get to do all these cool things? I get to interview some incredible people. I feel like I'm living my dream every single day. The things I envision from childhood, I feel like I'm living. The things I envision from college, I feel like I'm living. And I just feel very grateful and blessed.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people would say, well, how is that even possible? Because we talk about your life and, you know, the changes that have happened. You've been on a really real, in times, horrific roller coaster of events.
Yeah.
People would say, well, how did you imagine this as a child? How could you have seen this coming? Can you explain what that was?
You know, I didn't see these things coming. What I imagined was my dad said that anything was possible. He really instilled in me something about the power of belief and that we can create the lives we want. He never said that I couldn't do anything. He never said that nothing was impossible. In fact, one of the biggest lessons he taught me, he never wore a watch and he didn't celebrate my birthday nor either of my siblings' birthdays. And I was the youngest of four. And I never understood why I was able to go to everyone else's birthday parties, all my friends. But when it was my birthday, we were never celebrated. I never got a cake, never got anything. One time we got a cake when I was five, and after that, he never celebrated it. And I never understood it until I asked him over and over, and he would say, you know, Lewis, I never want you to be limited by your age. I never want you to feel too young or too old to achieve your dreams.
Wow.
And so even though I didn't get it until, you know, in my 20s, I really appreciate it now because he instilled in me something that, you know, a lot of us maybe struggle with, feeling like we're not experienced enough. We don't have the degrees. We don't have the age. We don't have the whatever we need, the credentials to go out and get what we want.
Talking about self-doubt.
Exactly. Where he always said you can create anything you want and you just have to go out and make it happen.
Was your dad an entrepreneur?
Yeah, he was an entrepreneur, yes.
Do you think that you got some of those qualities and skills by osmosis, kind of just...
He was a struggling entrepreneur. I mean, it wasn't until I was like 16 we actually started making money. So it was a struggle and a grind, and it wasn't easy growing up because there was a lot of stress and tension, and he was just never home.
Yeah.
Working so hard for us four kids, just trying to make enough money for us to eat. But when I never made any money until I was about 22, because in the summers of high school and college, he said, you know, if your dream is to go play professional football, just come home and train and I'll take care of you in the summers. So when everyone else was off doing, you know, jobs, he was like, this is your job. If you're to train 4 hours a day, then I'll give you the food and the, you know, the shelter, essentially.
Right.
But he supported my dream. So after I got injured playing football, I didn't have any experience. I didn't have anything to go back on. I never made any other money. No one ever hired me for anything. So I'm 23, 24 years old with no experience. And I was like, who would hire me to do anything right now? And I didn't have a college degree yet. And I was just like, what do I do now?
Right.
So I had to figure it out on my own. I mean, I really had to figure it out. I reached out to mentors who could kind of coach me and guide me and challenge me to step up. But a lot of it was overcoming the fear of who is going to pay me for anything.
Do you think that that comes from the place we end up in that has to do with our self-doubt, our worth, our value, and what we think we have to offer the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was doubting myself because I just lost my identity of playing sports and I had to retire from an injury. And so I didn't know what was next. My only focus in life was one thing, to be a pro athlete. I didn't go to school to learn or study. You know, I got horrible grades. And so...
Talk about putting all your eggs in one basket.
Everything is one basket. But I think sometimes if you want to achieve greatness, you've got to go all in. You've got to be 100% committed. You can't say, I'm going to give my best a little bit here, and then... But I'm going to work really hard in these other areas just in case it doesn't work out.
Right.
I think you've got to go all in.
You do have to go all in. You know, you talk about having dreams a lot. Mm-hmm. And you talk about pursuing your dreams and pursuing your passion.
Yes.
Some would say, well, that was your dream. That being a pro athlete was your dream. Mm-hmm. And your dream just kind of vanished. A lot of other people would have given up because they had a dream. They pursued it.
Yeah.
And it kind of... shattered.
Yeah.
It kind of blew up in your face.
A lot of pro athletes do give up after they retire. They're
right.
Like, they're washed up for years. They don't transfer the skills into a new dream.
Right. Have you been able to identify what happened? What was that one thing that made you flip that switch to find a new dream?
Growing up as a kid, I always wanted to inspire people. I always wanted to be a symbol of inspiration for my family and my friends around me to say, hey, you guys can go after what you want as well.
Mm.
So that's why I pursued sports, because it was my dream and I wanted to perform and showcase my talents to people so they could say, you know what, that was an incredible play. I'm so, you know, I can see the passion that Lewis has and I can see how he lives his life, and it inspires me to go do something with my life, or it inspires me to be a better partner with my relationships or with my kids, or go after my dream with that type of passion. I just wanted to be a symbol of inspiration with everything I did. And so when it was over, I said, you know what, I can still be an inspiration somehow. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know I want to inspire people and I want to do things that are fun for me and that are fulfilling. So what are those things? I read a book over Christmas of 2007 going into 2008 that was a catalyst for where I'm at today.
Wow.
The book was called The 4-Hour Work Week. You heard of it?
Yes, of course.
By Tim Ferriss. And I remember reading this, and I was in a cast sleeping on my sister's couch, and I closed the book after 3 days. There's only really maybe 5 books I've read cover to cover. Every single word cover to cover. I usually read the first couple chapters and get bored and close it up, or I'll skim through it.
We're not going to do that with your book.
Exactly.
We're going to read it all the way through.
But as a dyslexic kid growing up, it's just, I'm a really slow reader. And so it's
right.
Just like, and a lot of times I have to read over a paragraph like 20 times before I even understand it.
Right.
So it's just a challenge for me. But I was so focused in this book. I closed it after 3 days. And I remember thinking, wow, I had no clue that this was a possibility. Like this lifestyle, this building a business on your own like this, you know, leveraging your talents and your gifts in the online marketing world. I had no clue any of this was even possible because I was so focused on one thing in my life
right.
before that. So after shutting it, I remember telling myself 3 things. One, someday I'm going to become really good friends with this guy, Tim Ferriss. I have no clue how it's going to happen because I'm a nobody. And he's like this huge superstar right now. But one day it's going to happen. 2, whoever this agent is for this book did an incredible job putting this together. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to find
him. I'm going to find him. And he's going to be
my agent.
Nice. Is he your agent?
And 3, I said one day I'm going to write a book that inspires millions of people around the world and is a catalyst for them to see what's possible in for their lives, the way this book was possible for me, and created this new way of thinking, this new possibility that I wasn't aware of before this moment.
Mm.
A couple years later, I became really great friends with Tim Ferriss.
Nice.
His agent's now my agent.
Nice.
And a week ago, I became a New York Times bestseller.
Good job. Awesome. You know, that leads me right to the next question, which was, you know, I've heard you talk about having visions and writing your dreams
yes.
and not thinking about the bigger picture, because the bigger picture sometimes overwhelms us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to think about bite-sized,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. Bite-sized goals. And I've heard you talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
It's interesting because my question was going to be, did you have a bigger picture dream? And you just told me
this was the bigger picture dream.
But
I didn't know.
The 3 things,
yes.
right? Those are bigger picture
dreams.
3 big things.
I didn't know when they were to happen. I just knew that I wanted them to happen.
Right.
And I wouldn't have been able to say, okay, I'm going to achieve this in the next year or the next 2 years. Like it wasn't possible at that time. And so I said, okay, what are the skills, the tools that I need to learn, the experience I need to gain in order for me to become friends with a guy like this,
mm-hmm.
in order for me to attract an agent of this caliber who mm-hmm. works with New York Times bestselling authors, in order to build an audience the size that I need to be able to market to a book to hit the New York Times bestseller list. Right. So I said, what are those steps that I need to create? And who do, more than that, who do I get to become in the process? What type of human being do I get to become?
Right.
What does that look like? Well, it probably means you have to be an effective communicator, which means you probably have to be able to speak in front of an audience and you can't be terrified. And at that time, I couldn't speak in front of five people without trembling and sweating.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I need to find someone who's a professional at this, someone who does this for a living. I actually met a guy salsa dancing because that was something I was picking up at the time as well.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, by the way. We can talk about that.
I was just like, okay, I need to learn a bunch of skills and tools that I can just whip out of my tool belt at any time and just access
right. In
different environments and connect with people in a different way.
Right.
And so salsa dancing and then I met a guy at the salsa club, actually, who I saw at my book launch party a week ago, which was funny to bring us full circle. And he told me he was a professional speaker. And I said, this is something I want to learn how to do. Can we have coffee? And can you teach me? Can you just tell me, you know, your feedback on how you did it? I want to hear about your success. So we had coffee at Barnes & Noble in Columbus, Ohio. At the Starbucks there.
That's not at all setting yourself
right?
up for success.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk about manifesting what you want.
And he told me the process of what it was like for him to be a professional speaker, how he got paid. And I was like, well, I'm just terrified to speak. So how do I even get past that step? And he said, you need to join something called Toastmasters. It's an international club that works on professional speaking. It works on your speaking style and getting comfortable with a small group at a time.
Right.
I said, perfect. So I went and found the best club I could find in Columbus, Ohio, and went every single week for the next year. And from the first speech I gave, I literally for 2 weeks wrote out word for word a speech. And you had to give a 5-minute presentation, your first speech. And I wrote it out and I stood behind a podium and I literally had my head down reading word for word the entire time in front of about 20 people because I was so terrified to look up at people.
There is a significant difference between speaking into a camera.
Yes.
Right? Because you're speaking through the lens versus speaking in front of a group of people when you have all those eyeballs looking at you.
It's different.
Because as a speaker, you kind of use their energy as feedback.
Yes.
And if you see someone's face just going someplace else, that really, so it's a really difficult thing to do. A lot of people sort of take that for granted.
It's very vulnerable.
It's very vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, you're constantly judged. Every moment you're judged.
Yeah.
So I learned over a year, you know, every month I would give a speech and every week I would go and practice some type of being in front of the group. And I went from being behind the podium, writing out word for word my speech and not looking up, to writing out word for word and looking up every 20 seconds, to just having note cards, to having no notes with the podium, to getting the podium away with note cards, to being completely free of everything and getting a standing ovation after a year of completing like this process. And for me, what I learned is that you've got to lean into the things that you're scared of doing the most. If you want to become better at anything, you've got to say, okay, this terrifies me. Like salsa dancing terrified me. I was so nervous to embarrass myself in front of a girl, right? It's like the guy's worst nightmare. It's like a beautiful Latin woman who knows how to salsa dance. And I'm just this like goofy white guy, 2 feet. The last thing I wanted to do was embarrass myself.
Yeah.
It's like public speaking.
And everybody's showing off and everybody is watching.
And I'm like,
and you really don't want to end up on your ass.
Exactly.
On a dance floor. That's
exactly.
Not pretty.
But what I learned early on is that if I don't lean into my fears with 100% passion and commitment to overcoming and embracing them, then it's always going to hold me back. So now I'm constantly saying, what am I afraid of? And how can I train myself to become great at that thing?
Yeah, you know, that brings up a couple of things. Is the common denominator here is challenging yourself.
Yeah.
Because nobody else really will, right?
Right.
And not just in life and in business, just in general, in whatever it is you do. Challenging yourself, doing the thing that puts the fear of God in you, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing you're really going to face it.
Exactly.
Do you find that is the one thing that sets the greats apart from those who are not?
I think so.
The people who are able to sort of stare fear at the face and just kind of go, bring it on.
Yeah, they're able to feel the fear and do it anyways.
Yeah.
And if you're unable to do that, then you're unable to be great in my mind, because you're always allowing fear to hold you back from being in the flow. And the only way to give our best work is to do something we love and to let go of how it looks, to let go of how we look, the fear of failure, the fear of looking bad, the fear of success that people have. Right. The only way to give our best is to fully let go.
There's all kinds of ways to get to where you want to be as long as you figure out what your goal is.
Yes.
Would you say that is one of the most important parts of success in entrepreneurship and the process of figuring out where you want to be in order for you to figure out the strategies and the tactics that are associated with it?
The thing that most people I find struggle with is getting very clear on what they want. It's simple. Mm-hmm. When we don't know what we want, it's really hard to get there. When we are very clear on it, then the method, the process, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to look perfect. It can be multiple different ways to get there, but we've got to get clear first on exactly what we want. And a lot of times by when we want it. So when we're not clear on when we want it, then it's probably not going to happen for a long time, if not ever. That's why I tell people to put deadlines on their dreams.
Because you're not really actively doing things.
You're not living in urgency unless you have a deadline. There's no urgency. Yeah.
By the way, don't you think that people have this misconception that if you're living this lifestyle, this entrepreneurship lifestyle, that there is no deadlines, that there is this free-flowing sort of... That's a misconception, when in reality, it really is a completely different lifestyle of deadlines. And you have to hold yourself more accountable.
Otherwise, when are things going to get done?
Never.
You're always going to live in a place of, it's not ready yet. It's not perfect. It's not... The logo isn't ready, or the website isn't ready, or I'm not prepared enough. It's never going to be perfect. And this is where people get stuck in perfectionism prison, where they're just behind these bars of like, they never launch anything, they never create anything because they're so afraid of what people are going to think or not looking good enough. Where I'm just from the place of, let's make it as great as we can make it in this moment with what we have within ourselves.
Right.
And it's always going to evolve and get better. But if I didn't launch my businesses or products in the past, I wouldn't be where I'm at. If I was like, well, the logo isn't exactly what I want it to be yet.
Right.
So let me wait another 6 months to analyze this.
And you have to really be able to put yourself out there. Do you think that playing sports and at the level you played it at really helped you sort
of
be almost like naked in front of your audience?
100%.
To just be vulnerable and leave it all on the field.
100%. I feel like I have a huge advantage because every day I experienced some type of pain in sports. It was just a physical and mental and emotional challenge every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think that allows me to step into the real world and life and business with, okay, I can handle this because I've done this my whole life. I've experienced physical pain, I've experienced emotional pain, mental pain, and I know how to push through things where most people just feel the pain and they're like, well, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'm like, bring it on, because I know the only way to get pleasure is to go through the pain.
Yeah. What was your biggest challenge, would you say, getting off of your sister's couch and then facing, because we talk about these things and they're in context, they make sense, but they're not tangible. So a lot of people can't put it in context in their own life, right? And we talk about fear and facing your fear and just getting off the couch. What did you find yourself doing specific things in the physical environment to get your mind right?
I would say I did four things to help me get off the couch. One was I started working out and just focusing on putting that negative energy towards my body and my health, because I was just laying around for a long time recovering. Two is I found mentors and coaches and asked them to challenge me to step up. Number three, I built my self-esteem up because I didn't have a lot of belief in myself. And so I did things. In order to build your self-esteem, you need to do things to esteem yourself.
And by the way, none of this stuff is easy. If you've ever been down in the dumps, if you've ever had failure, if you've ever ended up on a couch and not wanting to get out of bed, or been through a breakup or fired or whatever it may be, any kind of challenge in life, these things are aren't easy, and you don't really want to do it, right?
No, I didn't want to. 2 years where, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, there's days where I just want to crawl under the covers, where I force myself to get out and salsa dance.
Of course.
Because putting yourself in that environment almost forces you to switch your mental state.
When you change your physical state, your emotional and mental state will start to change as well. So you just got to put yourself in that physical state so you can get out of that funk. And then I'd say the fourth thing I did was I gave myself a vision and a dream.
I'm Silvahara Pettion. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.